the only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio. Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Hello, everybody. This is Jawahar, and this is a bright, summery, hot summer day, Saturday.
Yes, and Jawahar, this is Pramod. How is it being 69?
Get out of here. I don't feel it. I just don't feel it. But anyway, what Pramod is talking about is my birthday and my mom's birthday. Mama just turned 93.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So we celebrated her birthday with a family reunion in Galveston in the San Luis Resort. It was very nice for the past 3 days. So I just drove in from there, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And so we were just delighted to
be... So how
are
the beaches? Is it nice and sunny, I imagine?
Well, yeah. The beaches were really nice. But the resort is really, really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like the pool area is where we spent all of our time. You might as well have been on a cruise ship because that's the way it felt, you know, everyone just bopping around. And
that's true. I had attended a wedding there a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a little dated, the inside of the hotel, but the cabana areas around the pool, they're just wonderful.
Yeah. The other place in Galveston, it's the, what's the other
the
big...
The Galvez?
Hotel? The Galvez. It's even more dated.
Yeah. I didn't really like the Galvez that much. So this is where...
But it has history, and I've lived... I've stayed in Galvez as well.
Yeah, but, you know, when you go there, you feel part of history.
Yeah.
Not good. And so, talking about history, Sanchali is MIA, folks. She is out there in Workerland. She said she's working a lot.
Yeah, she's a pharmacist, so she's busy with patients. And she said a bunch of new patients have come in, and she's overloaded right now.
And she's going to overdose them. I know.
I hope not.
Well, okay, so because she is a no-show, we have to now go back to one of us reading the lineup.
Yeah, I've got it here.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah. why don't we take turns? You go first.
Yeah, the first is All You Need Is Love, and it's related to estate planning tips, and it's from lawyer Heidi Wilborg, and she's brought to us by our investor planner, Pradeep Gokhale.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, it's a nice segue there, Pramod. All You Need Is Love and Estate Planning. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You were referring to the little poster that we made, and then I had thrown in
right, yes.
That whole thing about All You Need Is Love in there. So the second guest that we're going to have, we'll talk about South Africa. The current situation there has turned into a race war between blacks who are turning against Indians who've been there for generations.
Yeah, I think in the past they worked together, but I think things have changed now. And we'll find out from Praveena what's going on over there. And the third guest we have is Raj Salhotra. And some of you may remember that he had contested for a city council seat. And Raj is head of Momentum Education, and we'll see what's that all about.
Yeah, he's got he had a nonprofit before he went to Harvard University.
Right.
And then when he came back, he ran for
city council. Yes.
He turned down a job from Baker Botts in order to do this.
I mean, that's really how
passionate Raj has been. And then he went ahead and started this other Momentum Education, which actually has two prongs to it, which we'll learn about it. And Salhotra, you know, Malhotra,
yeah.
Galhotra, what the heck is this?
I guess somebody made a spelling mistake, a typo.
No, but I never knew there was a Salhotra until I met him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I always thought my name was the unique one.
Yeah.
Because it's not so unique anymore, because if you go and watch any of the Bollywood movies, there's always a Raj Malhotra.
Right. Which is Shah Rukh.
Shah Rukh. Raj Malhotra. He's
disguising as Raj.
Disguising
but
as Raj.
Do you have any idea what Malhotra means?
Actually, I don't. But I have, folks, for those who know nothing about this, I have created my own interpretation.
Oh, okay.
So Malhotra is three syllables. Uh-huh. Mal, M-A-L,
yeah.
For bad in Latin.
Oh, okay.
Hot in English is hot.
Uh-huh.
And Ra is the Egyptian sun god. So I'm the bad, hot Egyptian sun god.
Wow. That's quite creative. My own name, Kulkarni, is a very standard name in Maharashtra and Karnataka.
Uh-huh.
It refers to the village clerk who collects taxes.
Correct.
And writes letters for people who might be illiterate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Here you are writing letters, being the editor and
that's
stuff
right.
like that.
I followed my
true
genealogical
calling. Genealogical calling.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, and Galhotra, I had no idea. You know, Harjeet Galhotra, he came along.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I said,
that's,
Harjeet?
That's even a different religion, so
well,
quite interesting.
True, but a lot of Sikhs were Hindus before,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
And then... in the early days.
Yeah, yeah.
But he came up with Galhotra, and that really floored me. I have to find out where that came from. All right, well, Pramod, enough of names, huh?
Yeah, let's do the news.
You want to do the news?
Yes.
Okay, go right for it.
Live from Indo-American News Radio, this is Pramod Kulkarni with the latest news from Houston, the United States, India, and around the world. The COVID pandemic is continuing to rise and fall throughout the world. In the United States, the Delta variant is causing a rapid growth in daily cases, but the death toll remains relatively low. On Friday, there were 49,746 new cases, an increase of 173% over the last 14 days. The death toll yesterday was 271, an increase of 20%. Dr. Anthony Fauci, held a press conference with the governors of Ohio, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Indiana to warn them that their states might see the same rise of COVID cases that Florida and California are experiencing. The Delta variant is causing most of the infections, and most of the infected who require hospitalization were unvaccinated. Here in Harris County, Judge Lena Hidalgo has raised the threat level to orange due to the rising tide of hospitalizations in the county. There is, however, good news on the vaccination front. According to the New York Times, more than 500,000 people got vaccinated on each of single days this week after months of reluctance and procrastination. Despite the rise in COVID cases, people around the world are experiencing COVID fatigue. Thousands of people took to the streets in Sydney and other Australian cities on Saturday to protest lockdown restrictions. Something similar is happening in France and Paris in particular. In New Delhi, the government is lifting its lockdown on Monday to allow full seating in the metro lines and in cinemas and spas, which will be allowed to open at full seating. The cap on the number of guests at marriages has been increased from 50 to 100. However, schools, colleges, and coaching institutions are still under the category of restricted activities. The world is also reeling from natural disasters, from floods and fires. In Oregon, communities are still struggling to hold off the Bootleg Fire, the largest blaze in the United States. A massive heat dome is expected to settle across most of the United States, bringing the possibilities of triple-digit temperatures to the Great Plains, the Great Lakes, Rocky Mountains, Pacific Northwest, and California. Meanwhile, the coastal region of Maharashtra is experiencing massive flooding, with 76 dead, 38 injured, and 59 still missing. More than 90,000 people have been evacuated to safety. Whole villages have been destroyed due to mudslides. In sports news, the 2020 Olympics have started a year later in Tokyo. The opening ceremony featured the reclusive tennis star Naomi Osaka. She lighted the Olympic flame. Indian spectators are rejoicing over the silver medal won by Mirabai Chanu, a remarkable weightlifter from the northeast state of Manipur. Mirabai wanted to quit after the Rio Olympics, the Rio de Janeiro Olympics, where she was unable to make a clean lift. In Tokyo, Mirabai succeeded in 4 of 6 lifts for a combined lift of 202 kg. She was only 8 kg less than the gold medal winner from China. In cricket, Sri Lanka won an ODI match played against India in Colombo. However, the Indian team won the series with 2 earlier wins. The 2 teams will now play a series of 3 T20s starting tomorrow morning at 9:30. Meanwhile, India's A team under Captain Virat Kohli is still waiting for the COVID bubble in England for the test series to start on August 4th. Some members of Indian women's cricket team are participating in a new cricket format in England called the 100. In this format, teams play 100 balls each. A bowler can bowl either 5 or 10 balls in an over with a maximum of 20 ball deliveries. The fielders switch sides after 10 balls. In a recent match between the Northern Superchargers and the Welsh Fire, Jeremiah Rodriguez from India carried the Superchargers to victory by scoring 92 runs off just 43 balls. That's all the news for now. More news, views, discussions, and music as we continue with the Indo-American News talk show.
Pramod, what's her name? The Olympic athlete from India who won for weightlifting?
Mirabai Chanu.
And where is she from? With a name like that, what do you think?
Manipur. Actually, Mirabai sounds like, from the hinterlands of
right.
India.
Yeah.
But she's from Manipur.
Okay. Well, you remember the movie Sankyank? Bullseye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, remember where the two grandmothers who shot their way to Olympic fame?
Right.
Right? So I can just see a Bollywood movie coming over here about this lady with the silver medalist in the Tokyo Olympics.
And then there'll be a Meera Bhajan in it somewhere.
Some Meera Bhajan, yes, absolutely. And we have with us our first guest.
Oh, okay.
And she's being escorted by our unofficial guest host today, Pradeep Gokhale. And Pradeep, what do you think about this silver medalist?
Oh, I think it's great. It's finally we are getting our India is getting its
act together,
yeah, and across not just one or two sports, but a number of different.
Right? Yeah, so, we have such a large population, so we should have plenty of athletic
talent.
Exactly,
yeah. I mean, you have smaller countries, like European countries and all that have usually end up with, in some cases, maybe 10 gold medals, or at least 10 Olympic medals.
Yeah, right. Like Netherlands, no for
yeah,
example.
Like Netherlands, exactly.
Yeah. So
much smaller population.
Well. Yeah.
Well, I think India would win hands down if it was all about Hollywood movies, Bollywood movies.
Yes.
That's right.
We would win all our 800 medals.
We would win the Bollywood Olympics.
The Bollywood Olympics. Some people are actually saying the Olympics are passé. They're dead. We don't need to be wasting all this money and building all these stadiums all over the world, putting everyone into debt. Remember the Athens Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
All the stadia was just totally rotted away. They had to demolish them.
Yep.
And the country went into a lot of debt afterwards.
Yep.
And the world, and what happened to Greece after that.
Yeah.
Well, it slowly slipped away.
Same thing with Montreal, right? The Montreal Olympics. When was that? In the 70s?
Yeah, that was in the 70s.
And
but
if you go there now, that stadium is not being used. Or none of it is being used.
Yeah. Right. And then, of course, we have a perfectly good stadium, the Astrodome, which is going to, which has been sitting there for what, 7 years?
More than that, yeah.
I saw yesterday that some architects had come up with an idea to strip all the paneling off the Astrodome, make it open. It was kind of like the Eiffel Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Expose the structure and make it a landmark, iconic place for people to come and visit. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
that should be interesting.
Wouldn't have to air condition anything.
Yeah,
that's true.
And what you're saying about the Olympics might be true because in 2032, Brisbane will be hosting the Olympics, and there were no competing entries.
Right, I see.
They were the only ones who were interested.
And most of the time, the countries that are really coming on the world stage are the ones who want to show their prowess.
Yeah.
Like China did in 2000, I guess. Was it China 2000? No, Australia in 2000. But
Beijing has had Olympics recently.
And they're doing the winter ones too, right?
Yeah.
So they want to show that. And I wouldn't be very surprised if maybe 20, 30 years down the road, India might not decide that they want to do the Olympics.
Sure. I think the desire is there. We just have to build the infrastructure.
Right. Yeah. Right. But with so many world competing events going on all over the world, you know, in preparation for this, the Olympics is kind of, you know, it's good, but it's
but full. On the other hand, you have gymnasts who do a remarkable job, basketball, field hockey. A lot of the sports that are unusual are not well known, like table tennis. They get their day in the sun.
Correct. And then on the other hand, you get very, very rich tennis players who go out there and compete for gold medals.
That's right.
Yeah, why not?
And I think Djokovic is on his, what is it called? Not the Golden Slam, but whatever. Not the Grand Slam, but whatever it's called.
Yeah, it's called, it's the Grand Slam of...
It's Grand Slam is the four big tournaments, but then the fifth one is the Olympics. If he wins.
Right, yeah, yes. Yeah. Djokovic is unbeatable now. Yeah. Unbeatable. Which reminds me of the M. Night Shyamalan, remember? Unbreakable?
Yeah.
M. Night has the new movie out, Old.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Old.
Yeah, so that talks about us, Pramod.
He might be talking about himself also.
Yeah, he's getting up there, that's true. Well, folks, while we're rambling away, we are. This is Indo-American News Radio. We have with us our heavy-duty voice, Pradeep Gokhale.
And he actually has a radio voice.
He has.
Thank you.
That's why he's an unofficial guest host, you know. So Pradeep has brought with him a very
knowledgeable
knowledgeable attorney.
Yes.
Who's got many years, 9 years of experience in estate planning. We're going to be talking to her after the commercial messages. And we'll tell you more about her when we come back. But this is Indo-American News Radio. If you want to call in, the number, Pramod, is
281-277-6874.
Right. So don't go away. We will be back with Heidi, and then after that, about the South African race wars that are going on, which should be really interesting.
Yeah, and more of us, Jawahar and myself.
Right. We'll see you in a minute.
Indo-American News Radio.
India News.
US News.
World News.
Movie Reviews.
And Local Community Roundup.
Every Saturday.
4 to 6 p.m.
On Masala 98.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Jawahar.
I'm Sanchali.
And I'm Pramod.
Indo-American News Radio.
Willie Nanayakra and Associates Attorneys and Counselors at Law specializes in immigration over 35 years of experience. New reforms are coming to the old immigration system. Now is the time to get all your immigration questions answered. Attorney George Willie offers free initial one-on-one consultation every Thursday, 10 a.m. on Masala Radio 98.7 FM. Willie Nanayakra and Associates Attorney, 14141 Southwest Freeway. Visit gwrpc.com. Call 281-265-2522.
I miss all my favorite Z channels.
You don't have to miss them anymore. They are now back on Yup TV.
On my TV, if there's any combo better than Karan Arjun, it has to be this.
With over 200 plus live TV channels available in more than 15 languages, Yup TV is a hot destination for Indian entertainment. Get yours today. For more details, 866-663-7557 or visit yupTV.com.
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Hello, everyone. We are back this time with our guest host, Pradeep Gokhale, who's going to tell us about Heidi Wilberg. Is that correctly pronounced, Heidi?
Yes.
Wilberg.
Yep.
Wilberg. Not no connection to Wahlberg.
No.
No. Okay.
Nope.
All right. Go right ahead, Pradeep.
Okay. Pleasure to introduce Heidi. I've had the opportunity and the privilege of working with Heidi and you know, a number of my clients and people that I know in the Houston community. But I'm just going to go read a little bit of background. I'll give you a little bit of background. So she's had more than a decade of experience in estate planning. She's licensed in the state of Texas. She essentially helps clients, families, in signing and preparation of estate planning documents, which means wills, powers of attorney. And she has, clearly she has a passion for this because she's been doing it for so long. She graduated from the South Texas College of Law, which is, as everyone knows, is a college here in town, in Houston.
A powerful college.
Very good college, yeah. It's got some really good, very, very strong alumni.
Alumni.
And then she's also worked, with the experience that she's had, she's also worked, or she's clerked for several estate planning law firms, the Harris County Probate Court, and then worked in the tax clinic, assisting low-income taxpayers as well. The one thing I do want to say about Heidi is, when I've worked with her, there's three things that I like about Heidi. One is, of course, the great experience that she has and the background that she brings with her. The other is she's very, very detail-oriented, so, and then she'll take her time to explain everything clearly to clients, because a lot of clients don't quite understand, particularly when it comes to legal language. And then the third thing is, most important thing is, she's very, very accessible. So I've actually inconvenienced her on weekends. I've actually contacted her on weekends, and she usually responds within a couple of hours.
So, that is unusual.
Yeah, which is very unusual with most professionals. So if you have a advisor, whether it's an attorney or a CPA or, you know, investment professional, you need somebody who has those three qualities.
Right. So yeah. People can call you on your cell phone?
Yes. It's actually on my website, so yep.
I see. Okay, that's great. That's great. So just putting you on the spot. But, you know, estate planning, it includes wills, trusts, power of attorneys, and guardianship documents. It's very complicated. It affects everything about you when you can no longer do anything about it.
That's right. It's even when you're still alive, but you can't handle your own affairs anymore if you have incapacity issues.
Right. Yeah. So powers of attorney.
Powers of attorney, so, and the guardianship.
Can you explain, as we're getting older into 60s and 70s, what are some of the things we should plan ahead?
Good question. Especially if you are older and you don't have any of these things in place, you uh-huh. should have somebody that could step up and take care of your affairs in case you become incapacitated.
Right.
We see a huge, huge increase in the last few years in dementia.
Uh-huh.
And that's an issue that affects a lot of American families. So that would be something you would really want to think about, just in case, even if you're perfectly healthy right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that would be wills and
you'd want to get power of attorney in uh-huh. place for...
And health power of attorney.
Health power of attorney, definitely.
Right. So that's an interesting the subject. What if you actually ended up all of a sudden being on the operating table? And you didn't have a health power of attorney, what would happen?
If you don't have one, the doctors are going to do everything they can to keep you alive. And if you have a power of attorney that says, you know, you don't want
to be resuscitated,
or you don't want to be kept alive on machines, then they would disconnect you. But if you don't have that in writing, they're going to keep treating you.
Uh-huh. And nobody can stop them at that point. Unless you take them to court.
Perhaps if you took them to court, or if you had, if you have a spouse, sometimes that's different. They'll listen to a spouse. But if you don't have a spouse, there's not going to be anybody they're going to really want to listen to.
So what happens is that the medical bills keep mounting up, right?
They do.
And then somebody at the end of the day is going to have to pay. And
right.
Could be the next of kin?
It could be. It could be the whole estate ends up going to medical bills.
Right.
Wow.
But one of the most important things is a will, correct?
Will is the most important thing, because when you pass away, if you have anything, you don't even have to. So people will say, I don't have an estate. Well, if you own a house.
Or a car.
Or a car. Or if you have a bank account, you have something that needs to be passed on. And the court has to approve that. So your will be the most important document.
And if you don't have a will, it goes to probate, right?
If you have a will, it goes to probate, but it's...
Anyway.
But it says who gets what and who's going to do it for you, your executor. And it's easy. If you don't have a will, then you have to go through a really long process, and there's extra costs and fees involved.
Really? I see. So can the state is the one at that point that takes over and starts appointing certain executors and so on and so forth, right?
Right. The court has to approve somebody, and they have to approve who gets it. So there's a lot of extra hoops to jump through. And
so it's better to have a will for yourself and your spouse.
Much better to have a will so that you... have all that set up ahead of time.
Right.
And it just becomes super easy.
Sure. And, a lot of people depend on these online will. What's your opinion of that?
Well, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's true.
I've made a lot of money fixing those.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yes.
Talking about money, how much does it cost for somebody on an average to make a will?
On average, if you're just doing a simple will,
yeah,
nothing complicated, around $1,000.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So, and would that include all these other documents?
Power of
attorney, yada, yada, yada?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And is that, they have to come in with an inventory of everything they own that they want to pass along?
Yep. Typically, we want to know what you have so that we know how to disperse it the best way through the will.
Mm-hmm.
So we might need to name some things in the will, or at least change your beneficiary designations on your assets, because that's a big, big deal. You could have a will and say everything goes to Joe, and then on your bank account, your beneficiary is Susie, and Susie's going to get it. So you want to make sure that your beneficiary and your will all match.
Okay. So stating that, regarding your bank account, if you state it in the will, who should get it, is that enough, or do you need to go to the bank and assign beneficiaries?
If you can, go to the bank and do the beneficiaries. That's the best way to do it.
Oh, okay.
Right. And that goes for both all of your accounts, including your retirement account.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And can you do a beneficiary for your house, for example? Is there some place you could say, hey, if I die...
You actually can in the state of Texas. Not every state allows that, but we have a transfer on death deed.
Yes.
Which is just really a beneficiary designation.
Boy, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm going down
fact,
there tomorrow.
Actually, I listened to a seminar put together by Fort Bend County, I think the George Library, and they talked about the transfer on death deed. So do you recommend it for your clients?
I do.
Okay.
It's really nice because you can file it ahead of time, and you still own your house, but immediately when you pass away, it gets transferred to your beneficiary.
So is that just your house or everything in the house?
Just the house.
So what happens to everything in the house?
Well, hopefully you say what happens to it in your will.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. And what about your car?
Your car? That's personal property, so you... would probably go along with all the contents in your house. Whoever you say gets your personal property gets your car.
Oh, wow.
Unless you want to name it separately to somebody.
Yeah. And Heidi, can you explain what is probate and how the process
works? Yeah, really, what is probate?
Sure. Probate is a court process where if you have a will, you bring the will in and you prove it up, and you prove the person's deceased and that the will was valid and everything in the will is accurate, and then the court says, okay, go ahead, distribute the assets according to the will, and they name the executor, named in the will as the executor, and they are in charge of handling the entire process, and the court just kind of steps back and lets them handle it.
So I think the word probate came from probing.
Possibly. But what kind of a court is it? Is it a family court, or who handles estates or wills?
In Harris County and in Fort Bend County, there's separate probate courts.
Oh, I see.
That's all they do.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Smaller counties are gonna not have the probate court separate. It'll be just a county court.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it's good to know these things. Okay. And what are the pitfalls in writing a will that you can tell us about?
The online wills are a pitfall because they're a form.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily fit what you want, and they may not be exactly accurate with the law in the state.
Right.
Because somebody else is writing that from somewhere else, probably not from Texas.
Probably from New Delhi, India, you know.
Possible.
We never know where they're from. And then there's a proper way to execute the will, and that maybe not done. That's what I see that's not done the most.
And what about if you have a property in other states and maybe other countries? Do you have to have separate wills for those kinds of geographic distributions?
Right. So you can only have one will. If you write a new will, it automatically revokes your previous will.
Okay.
So anything in the United States would be covered by your will. Uh-huh. In the United States, it gets a little trickier. Like, say, if you have property over in India.
Yeah.
You know, over there, they've got succession laws and who gets what, and it's going to follow those rules in that country.
Uh-huh.
You know, actually, the several points here that come to my mind. One is, you mentioned India. Now, in India, if you want to set up a will, you actually go to district court and you do a video recorded will.
Ah.
So they don't just accept a written will, because there's so much fraud there.
Yeah.
So they end up taking the person and with witnesses that they came and they saw all this happen. And whoever is being the beneficiary does not get to go into the courtroom to videotape it. But that being aside, one of our callers just called and said, what happened to contents in the safe deposit box?
Oh, that's a big deal, actually. So
really?
It is, because if you have a safe deposit box, and that's where a lot of people put their will.
Uh-huh.
And you don't have an executor named, and no one has access to the safe deposit box, how do you get it out?
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to do an emergency court order with the probate court to open the safety deposit box.
But okay, so that opens the box, but what about the contents? If people have bullion in there, for example.
Well, so that would be cash. And it would go according to the will, if there's a will, as far as it would just be divided up.
Okay. And if there isn't a will, then the probate court will handle things.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. And one more thing. You mentioned earlier about you could have only one will.
Correct.
But, let's say that you wrote a will 20 years ago, and the attorney that you did it with has either gone out of business, retired, or drop dead, or they put all their paperwork in a storage area, and they you call them up and they say, you're Jay who? You know, so what happens then?
Well, hopefully they gave you a copy when they drafted it.
But the copy's enough?
Copy, you can actually probate a copy.
Oh, okay.
I do give all my clients their originals and tell them to keep it somewhere safe.
In the safe deposit box.
Safe deposit box, and name somebody on the safe deposit box.
They can open it
after you're gone.
And give them the key somewhere. You know,
right.
Let them know where the key is, so the safe deposit box.
Yeah, so there's some access there. But you definitely want to hang on to at least a copy, or hopefully the original, of your own document, so you don't have that problem.
And it would be good to distribute copies to your beneficiaries, possibly?
Oh, no, they may kill you, you know. I mean, they might want...
I would caution against giving it to your beneficiaries in case you change your mind.
Oh, I see.
And then you create a big problem.
Oh, okay. But keep it to yourself and keep it safe.
Keep it safe.
How about that?
And
not necessarily in a safe deposit box.
Right. And it's okay to tell your executor where your documents are so they can find it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's true. But don't tell them what you're giving, because if they don't like it, and there's always arsenic, you know, and old lace, that's the big...
But, you know, I have all these three documents, and will and the power of attorney and the medical power of attorney. But on my will, the children's addresses have changed. So would it be a good idea to revise the wills as the addresses change?
Technically, you don't need to do that.
Oh, okay.
It could be done if you feel like it, but you don't need to.
Oh, okay. But there should be, you know, at least these days, you should include an email address, which is more permanent than a physical address.
I like to have email addresses, definitely.
And phone numbers, if possible.
Phone numbers.
Oh, okay.
Pradeep, did you have something?
Yeah, so Heidi, I'm curious because I get a lot of questions about trusts, setting up trusts.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I think one of the ways that you can avoid probate is to set up a trust. Right?
That's correct.
So maybe we can talk about that a little bit if you...
Right. So also, you had mentioned, you know, what if you have property in other states?
Uh-huh.
So a trust will prevent you from having probate. And if you have property in, say, Texas and New York, you're going to have a probate in Texas and New York.
Uh-huh.
But if you have a trust, you won't have a probate at all.
Oh, okay.
So if you transfer the ownership of your assets or name the trust as your beneficiary, you can avoid the probate process altogether.
Well, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more. We are going to be going into a commercial break in about a minute. And so after that, I'd like to explore that a little bit more, as well as wills and trusts and so on. And your business, how do you handle that? You know, so...
Sure.
So, folks, we're talking to Heidi Wilberg. That's not Wahlberg, it's Wilberg. She's not related to Mark. Mm-hmm. So, and she's an estate attorney, and she's giving us a good education on what it takes in order to make a will. If you need to reach her, you can reach her at
713-331-5158 is my business number. Or you can go to my website and look me up at wilberglawfirm.com.
Okay. And we'll be giving you this information again in the after we come back from these messages. But I'm finding this very enlightening. I'm already wondering, where is my will? I have to go and find it.
Oh, I just saw mine just yesterday.
Oh. Well, that's a nice thing. Promote you. Keep an eye on it. So this is Indo-American News Radio, folks. This is Jawahar. We're talking to Pradeep Gokhale. Say something, Pradeep.
We're going to take a break.
All right.
Radio.
India News.
US News.
World News.
Movie Reviews.
And Local Community Roundup.
Every Saturday.
4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Jawahar.
I'm Sanchali.
And I'm Pramod.
Indo-American News Radio.
Looking for fresh homemade spices? Chandrika Masala is the place. Chandrika Masala retail outlet at factory location, 13220 Morphy Road. Chandrika Masala, 100% homemade spices, attas and chutneys. 713-789-3088. ChandrikaMasala.com. 713-789-3088.
चमकता हीरा भी क्या चीज है तेरी नजरों के सामने तभी तो चुना है महाराजा को तुझे सजाने को हमने
महाराजा ज्वेलर्स ओनली द बेस्ट फॉर द मोस्ट ब्यूटीफुल यू
सच्चे प्यार का सच्चा तोहफा महाराजा ज्वेलर्स 5821 हिलक्रॉफ्ट
ब्रिंगिंग डायमंड्स टू लाइफ
एम्बेसी
Suites. Two locations, Energy Corridor and KT. On your stay, come and relax in our indoor pool or host your meeting in style. Schedule a tour and check our beautiful state-of-art ballroom. The perfect location for parties and weddings. Continental and South Asian cooking in-house. Outside catering also allowed. Embassy Suites.
For bookings, call Anam Shabbir 832-391-6259.
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Hello, everybody. We're here once again. We're talking about wills and estate planning and all that good stuff. So, Heidi, tell us, what happens when somebody's a sole proprietor, you know, of a business, he dies, and what happens to his business?
So if there's no plan in place, it gets frozen. So the business account gets frozen. Whatever is being done in the name of that person, everything gets put on hold because they're gone. And there's been no one able to step up. So
that's not a good thing.
That's a bad thing.
So is there a will for that sort of process?
So what you want to do is you definitely want to put it in your will, but you also want to do business succession planning, which is a separate document, which would go with your business documents. And it would say who's going to be able to step up after this person is either incapacitated, which is also a big deal, or deceased. Because you always want to have somebody that can come in and write a check, pay some business debts, keep the business going. There was a grocery store that closed that had been successful. It was not my client, but a friend of mine. They had to close it all down because they didn't have anybody named, and all the creditors were asking for their money, and they couldn't get into the bank accounts and anything. They didn't have a will. Nothing.
Oh, wow.
And so creditors and debts would work the same way too, right? So if people were trying to, receivables and payables would work the same way.
Exactly.
It wouldn't be sufficient just to have a check written by this guy. It's already signed, sitting there, like five of them, and you cash them like, and put a different date on it.
No,
that would be fraud.
That would be fraud. Yeah, I was going to say that.
But who's to know?
Somebody will.
As long as you do it in the middle of the night.
Heidi, then this problem would only be for sole proprietorships, right? For partnerships and corporations, this wouldn't apply.
If you do your business planning properly, you're right. You want to make sure, though, in your partnership agreements or your corporate documents, that it says what happens if somebody dies. Where does their share go? Who gets it?
And so we should have that in place.
Definitely should, because let's say you're a partner with your friend and you're each married. When you die, your share goes to your spouse, but maybe your friend doesn't want to be a partner with your spouse.
That's true. That's true, absolutely. So
I'm glad you don't have a spouse right now, Jawad.
Yes, that's a good thing
but
for
that
you.
Could
that's
change.
A good thing for you. Okay, so what happens also for if you're in bankruptcy proceedings?
If you're in bankruptcy proceedings and what?
And you die suddenly without a will or a succession thingy.
They have to finish the bankruptcy first.
Yeah.
It becomes a really long, drawn-out process.
So basically you end up paying lawyer's fees in order to get the corporation resolved.
Right. Yeah.
And Heidi, could you explain the different kinds of trusts and what are the significance of each?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So especially in Texas, people here traditionally have used a will with what you call a testamentary trust. Mm-hmm. And so what that is something that would come up after you die. So once the will is probated, then the testamentary trust would become a actual living trust at that moment for whoever the beneficiaries are. But then there's also other trusts that you can do besides that would be in place while you're still alive, like a revocable living trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most common. And that one will avoid probate. You don't have to go to the probate court so long as you've put everything in your trust. And it's all managed through that instrument.
So is it very expensive to set up a revocable trust?
Well, yes and no. It depends on how you want to think about it. So you're going to set up a trust and pay a little extra now, but you're not going to do probate later.
But so you're dead. I mean, you don't care what you're going to pay at that point, right?
Well, yeah, I guess so. It just depends.
Between the two kinds of trusts you mentioned, which one do you recommend?
So it depends on your situation,
okay.
I would say. The revocable living trust is really good, especially for people who are on a second marriage.
Oh, okay.
So if you have especially if you have separate children and you want your kids to get something, you would want to do a trust where when you die, it becomes irrevocable that your kids are going to get something.
Oh, okay.
If you just each have a will and you die and you give everything to your spouse, well, they can keep it all. It doesn't mean your kids are going to get anything eventually. Right.
But why did they call it revocable?
Because you can revoke it, you can amend
it,
you can do anything you want with it while you're alive.
Oh, okay.
And as opposed to irrevocable, there is such a thing?
There is. That's another, usually that's more of an advanced planning.
Uh-huh.
You either want to do some asset protection, maybe move something out of your estate so you can avoid estate taxes.
I see.
I had a quick question, Heidi.
It's really complicated then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just going to. So I get a lot of questions from clients about when you set up a living trust, is it creditor proof? Can creditors come after you if you have your assets inside of a living trust?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not creditor proof?
No.
Okay.
So there is such a thing as a creditor proof?
That would be the irrevocable trust.
Ah, I see. Mm-hmm. One other thing, and this is not an idle question, but I mean, not that I know anybody like this, but if you happen to be in jail...
Yes.
And you on murder charges or some sort of scandalous thing, you know, and somehow somebody gets even with you in jail. Does your will come into play? I mean,
yes.
Of course.
Yep.
Yeah.
It would, as long as you had one. It would.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see.
Are you planning to do something?
I have some thoughts are coming into my head, Pramod. We're talking to Heidi Wilberg. Heidi, go ahead and give your number again, please.
713-331-5158.
And your email address would be nice too.
Oh, my whole email address? Okay.
Yeah.
It's Heidi, I'll spell it out. Heidi at wilberglawfirm.com, and that's WEELBORG law LAW and then firm FIRM.
Wonderful.
That's great. That's great. We're so educated, so much more illuminated by talking to you about this, because this is one of those things that nobody wants to really get into, but you got to do it, like right now, right? I see Pradeep shaking his head.
Yeah, and I was going to also say that, you know, you talked about estate taxes. Heidi talked about estate taxes, and those are going to change now, because the current exemption, lifetime gift exemption,
mm-hmm.
will sunset in 2025. So starting in 2026, your existing, unless Congress acts, your existing lifetime gift exemption will be half
What it is.
So right now it's about
11.7 per person.
Yeah.
11.7 million.
Million
per
US
citizen.
Well, we don't have any problems about that.
But there are a lot of people that, you know, that fall in that.
So you can give an... give this amount to one of your children, possibly,
you
or
can gift it.
Spouse.
You can gift it, correct.
Without taxes on
today,
but
then it does count towards your lifetime gift exemption at death. You know,
Is lifetime for all the children combined or just one per child? Each child gets 11.7.
It's total.
Total.
Combined.
Okay.
So you could do 5.5 for each if you have two children, for example.
Wow, nice, nice. Well,
so. Up to that amount, then you can do it maybe
tax-free.
Yeah.
After that, you're going to pay 40%.
Oh, wow.
On anything over the amount. So I know 11.7 million per person sounds like a huge amount, but when it gets halved, to probably 5.5-ish.
Yeah.
There goes the motel. You can't pass that on. Yeah.
But, yeah, and this is for U.S. citizens. So yeah. Non-U.S. citizens is...
Oh.
Right.
Yeah, non-U.S. citizens don't get it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's good to be a citizen.
So well, another inducement to become a citizen. Yeah. For those of us who those are not me, but necessarily other people sitting on the fence waiting whether they should do that or not. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Well, we've been talking to Heidi Wilberg, W-E-E-L-B-O-R-G. No relation to Mark Wahlberg, but she's an estate planner. I mean, an estate planning attorney. She does trusts and... all the other documentations that you should be aware of in case you want to leave anything for your heirs. Her number is 713-331-5158, and you have two offices, one in Sugar Land and one in the Galleria.
That's right.
Right. And so we're delighted to have you here, Heidi. Yeah, that was very, very informative, and this we'd love to have you back one day to talk a little bit more because I don't think we've covered a lot of things.
So yeah.
Scratching the surface, so to say.
Yeah, the subject of trust needs more exploration.
Sure, I'd be happy to come back and talk anytime.
There, she has a dollar bill. It says, in Heidi, we trust. Heidi, thank you so much. Really enjoyed having you here.
Thank you.
And thank you for putting up with our host.
What? I mean, you know, you got to have a little fun with this.
Certainly, yes.
Otherwise, it's too serious.
That's too serious, really. But folks,
I'll give you that.
Don't go away. We are going to be going to a song right now, and the song is actually, hold on, I got to find this. Promote, it's a wonder if you go away for a couple of days, you don't know how to use this. Now, go ahead.
Oh, okay. You know, we talked about the silver medal winner in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
There have been recently other achievers. In particular, there is from Houston, this young lady named Shirisha Bandla.
Yeah.
And she became the third Indian origin woman in space. The first one, of course, was Kalpana Chawla.
Right.
And now, you know, she died in that tragic accident in space. And then the second one was Sunita Williams, and she's still active. And third one is Shirisha Bandla. She actually wanted to be an astronaut with NASA, but I think she had a vision problem in the sense she probably needs to wear contacts or something. And so that becomes a problem for NASA.
Right. So,
but she joined Virgin Galactic.
Yes, I know.
Which is the...
she went up with Branson.
Yes, exactly.
Right. It's kind of interesting. Well, how come all three of them are women? Where are the guys? They don't want to be astronauts.
I guess they do. Actually, there is one Indo-American that's in the astronaut program.
Really?
I think in a year or two, he'll be up in space. And I don't remember his name right now, but we featured his photograph on the front cover of our newspaper.
Right. I do remember that. But we do have somewhat of another link. We had an astronaut who actually called in.
Yeah.
And I've forgotten his name, but he's married to an Assamese lady who happens to also work as an engineer at NASA.
Yeah, that's true.
So, who knows? This will all change very rapidly. Folks, this is Indo-American News Radio. We're going to be joined in by Praveena, that must be Praveena calling right now. Praveena Singh Kaw, K-A-W. And so we'll be back with you after the messages. Pramod, you...
Yeah, so if you would like to talk to Praveena or ask any questions, please call our studio number at 281-277-6874, and we'll be back after these commercial messages.
Right, so that is Praveena. She just called in, so we're going to be going to these messages. You can also support us by sending us people who want to advertise with us or sponsor some of these interviews. So you can call us at 713-789-6397 or email at indoamericannews@yahoo.com. We'll be right back, folks.
Masala Radio.
You're listening to Masala Radio, 107.5 KGLK, HD4, Lake Jackson, and 98.7 FM, K254BZ, Fairbanks.
Masala.
Amerijuve Med Spa, Christmas in July sale. 6 microfacials only for $450. 3 microneedling skin pens for $600. Buy 2 Cool Sculpting and get one free. 20% off skincare products. 3 Vela Shape cellulite reduction for $750 and 6 for $1,200. Special offers on laser hair removal. Amerijuve Med Spa. Look good, feel good. 713-960-6262.
Divided by borders, but united by food. My Kolachi will surely uplift your mood. Our cuisine does not just unite the recipes and flavors of our lands. It unites our communities, our cultures, our countries. Our specialty is hot kebabs and karais. And our homemade rabri is a taste of heaven. My Kolachi, upscale dining.
59 at Williams Trace next to Home Depot. 281-240-0786.
My Kolachi, so good.
At Exclusive Furniture, we have furniture and mattresses in stock. But no matter how much we say, everyone keeps asking, do we really have it in stock?
Yes, Sam. They keep asking, do you really have it in stock? Yes, Houston, we do.
You want it, we've got it.
You need it, we've got it.
Delivered this week, guaranteed.
With 7 locations and online at exclusivefurniture.com. But wait, there's one more thing.
Exclusive Furniture, where low prices live.
Yeah, what he said.
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Good afternoon, listeners. I'm pleased to introduce our next speaker. She is Dr. Praveena Singh Kao. And she's an attorney at law, but also a PhD, MA, MBA, and also has a BS degree. That's an amazing set of degrees.
Really?
Dr. Singh Kao is an ex-South African whose ancestors migrated from Rajasthan, India, to Durban, South Africa in the 1800s. And she has a Bachelor's of Science degree in biochemistry, a master's in and a PhD also in biochemistry, and she also has an MBA, and she's talking to us about the recent race riots that have taking place in South Africa, and apparently this is causing some friction between the blacks and the Indian population. So Praveena, we are honored to have you on our show, and please tell us and give us a background on what's happening in South Africa.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you very much for giving me this forum.
Sure, certainly.
By way of background...
Praveena, we have a little bit of feedback. Are you near a radio or...
Okay, I think I have it on speaker, so that's possibly why. Okay, is it any better now?
Yes, it's much better.
Okay, so just to give you some history, South African Indians have been in South Africa since 1684. At that time, the British brought them to Cape Town as slaves, and this continued until 1725 and then restarted in the 1860s when the term indentured laborers was coined. So essentially, South African Indians have been an integral part of South Africa, and we were very instrumental in helping to dismantle apartheid, something that's not widely known.
So, yeah, no, hold on a minute. Are you originally from South Africa yourself?
Yes, I was born in South Africa. My parents were born there. My grandparents were born there.
Where were you born in South Africa?
In Durban, which is a seaport. It's on the Indian Ocean. Mm-hmm. And that's where most of the Indians landed when they were brought in.
And what is the population of Indians in South Africa?
Roughly about 1.5 million, and largely concentrated in Durban, which is in the province of Natal.
But now, out of a total population of how much?
We have a total population of about 60 million
60
people. Yeah, and about out of that, 47 million are black, and Indians are just 1.5 million.
Okay. I see. So we're roughly about 2% of 2.5% of the population.
Yeah, a pretty small minority.
But our influence is more than 2%, isn't that right?
Oh, economically, we are a very big contributor to taxes and to the buildings and the infrastructure of South Africa. Indians have are involved in multiple sectors of the economy.
Praveena, could you speak directly into the speaker? Sometimes your voice is fading.
Sure. No problem. Yeah, so Indians are very much involved in the South African economy in all sectors, as well as in the departments of education, in the legal field, in the medical field, and some are in parliament as well.
Okay. So what is happening now between the violence that's taking place in South Africa?
I'm sorry, Pramod, if you don't mind my interrupting. I need a little bit more background. Gandhiji was where? Was he in Durban when he did his famous, disobedience act?
No, he was traveling on a train outside of Durban. And at that time, he was not allowed to enter and sit in a white carriage, a white compartment. So even though South Africa has four race groups, which are the Indians, the Africans, the coloureds, which are mixed race, and the whites, Indians, coloureds, and Africans had to sit in a separate compartment than the whites.
Okay, so and where was Gandhiji's ashram? Which city
it's
was?
It's in Phoenix, which is one of the hubs where the violence has broken out.
And it's not that is not near Durban.
It's outside. It's a suburb of Durban.
Okay. With that background, it helps to understand. So most of the writing and everything that's happening is happening to Indians where they live.
Exactly, in the historically Indian areas. So Phoenix was a subdivision created under the Group Areas Act during the apartheid days, and it's made up of 85% Indians. And similarly, we have Reservoir Hills, Isipingo Hills, Chatsworth. Those are predominantly Indian areas that were created under the Group Areas Act. And just like you would have Sugar Land, we have Phoenix or Chatsworth. And after Zuma, the ex-president, was incarcerated, basically protests erupted throughout the country, mainly in Durban, and his stronghold is Durban and Natal, that province.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of it being generalized, the hordes of looters targeted Indian-owned businesses, the Indian residential areas, and there was 6 days of continuous rioting going on. 200 malls were destroyed, about over 50 billion rands of property was destroyed.
But why target Indians?
Yeah, what is their grievance?
There is a group called the Economic Freedom Fighters, and they are led by a person named Julius Malema.
Mm-hmm.
And he is of the opinion that Indians need to return to India. And truthfully, we are not Indian in the true sense of the word.
Right.
Our ancestry is Indian, but we are very much South African. I mean, if you come there in the 1600s, telling an Indian from South Africa that has been there 400 years, go back to India, it's a bit ridiculous.
Right. So it's kind of similar to what Idi Amin Dada did in Uganda.
Yes.
Right.
Expulsion of Indians, exactly. And what he's done the Africanization of Africa, where he says, we are African, street names need to be African, we need to respect our cultural heritage. Then they created legislation that kept employment opportunities strictly for black people, which kept out Indians from the workforce. Then the third thing was now he wants to do land expropriation or nationalization of property. If you own a business, they want to just take it over without payment. And then the fourth would be either massacre or expulsion of the Indian community.
Wow. But this is all focused. This is all focused on the Indian community. The white community is still very much a part of the fabric of South Africa, right?
To be honest, he's also attacked the white farmers. He was indicted on hate speech when he started the slogan "Kill the Boer," which means kill the farmer, and he continues that type of hateful rhetoric. Again, now he's targeting Indians, and for some reason we have become his object of hatred, and our people are very much in danger of being ethnically cleansed, because since the Indians community, even though we were such a small community, a lot of the Indians in the last 27 years have been subject to violent crime. So they've been forced to use, you know, have burglar guards, CCTVs, guns in their homes. So when the blacks started invading the Indian areas, a friend of mine, there were 21 of them that had to fend off a population of 1,000 blacks that were intent on burning and looting.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. So
that is really scary.
And then the government failed to act. I mean, the government had intelligence that they knew this attack was going to happen. They did not send out troops. They did not deploy the army as any normal functioning government would do. They told the police to stand down and not do anything to the protesters. But these were not protesters in the true sense of the word. These were looters that, I mean, they were burning buildings. They were willing
These are looters who want to take over the businesses and property of Indians?
The game plan was to destroy the supply chain, to create a state of anarchy. I think Malema was hoping that they would the government would declare a state of emergency, at which time the military would take control of the country. And a lot of the people in the military are his followers. So he was hoping to execute a coup against the current president. Mm. And therefore, the president was, I guess, being diplomatic and trying not to send out the troops and have a standoff between the protesters and the army. But again, our Indian people were totally defenseless. I have tons of voice notes and videos on my WhatsApp from family and from friends and from the community at large begging for help. Unfortunately, because the Indians had to defend themselves, 300 lives were lost. And now Malema is saying that the Indians killed blacks, and therefore the Indians now, either the government needs to arrest them and take them to task for having killed blacks, or he will take that upon himself to do with his followers. So he's changed the narrative.
Yeah, thank you for this background, because most of us had no idea that this was going on in South Africa. How can listeners here help you in this campaign?
Okay, a couple things that I would like to see happen. India, as well as America, are big trading partners with South Africa. They do tens of billions of dollars of business. So I would like our representatives to actually try to apply economic sanctions against the government for failing to act and protect people. Because, you know, there were severe human rights violations that occurred against Indians, and it's not a recent thing.
Well, what about the Indian government itself? Are they doing anything? Because, as you said, India has a lot of trading going on with South Africa.
One of the Indian ambassadors did send a letter to the South African government, you know, warning them that this would not be tolerated. Because when a similar riot happened in 1949, actually India sent the warships to the waters outside of South Africa and threatened to come in and invade South Africa should their Indian subjects be treated the way they were being treated.
And at that time, what did that work?
Yes, that actually helped the Indians because, you know, we didn't have social media back then, but having India actually stand up for the Indian population was very helpful. I know Arnab Goswami has put it out on his Republic TV station asking the Indian government to take action against the South African government for failing to protect its Indian citizens.
No, but these are not Indian citizens. These are citizens of South Africa.
Indian origin.
Yeah. Right. So, but India has a lot of investments in South Africa.
Right.
We do also have a lot of Indians that have, since apartheid was dismantled, they've stopped, they've allowed Indians to migrate to South Africa. So we have a lot of Indians Indian citizens residing in South Africa and doing business in South Africa, as well as Pakistani, Bangladeshi, and other communities that were previously
So would it be safe to say that this kind of rioting and looting is going on, this violence is going against all South Asians?
Yes, I mean, wherever there's an Indian population or business, those were the ones that were targeted.
Right, but so, other Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Sri Lankans, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, typically, Indian businesses will be, you know, people from Bangladesh are setting up businesses in Indian-owned areas, which were, you know, the historically.
No, I get it.
Yeah, Jawahar, I don't think they distinguish between different nationalities.
Correct.
We all look the same to them.
Yes, that's true. But this is very troubling, folks. You're listening to Praveena Singh Kao, who is an attorney here in Houston, and she is from South Africa, from Durban, South Africa, and she's talking about all the violence that's being unleashed in a racist war by Joseph Malala, is that correct?
Malema.
And against Indians, and it's very, very similar to what happened with Idi Amin in Uganda, and then what happened with Kenya and Congo,
yeah.
Correct.
And you know, if you extrapolate, something like that could happen here if we don't watch out.
This is true. Whenever you have the haves and the have-nots, you're going to create a situation where, you know, the people that are going to be gullible or easily led will take arms for any cause and unleash violence on law-abiding citizens.
So, folks, if you want to be of some help to bring this to the attention of your congressman or your senator here or other leaders that you might know, to get a campaign started. And if you want to get in touch with Praveena, is there a number they can reach you at?
Sure, 713-302-2907.
Okay, and that is your...
my cell phone.
That's cell phone. 713-302-2907. That's a cell phone for Praveena.
And Praveena, are you part of an organization that is starting this campaign of information?
I don't have anything per se because, like I said, I have tons of relatives still in South Africa and you know, we are communicating through WhatsApp. Uh-huh. But the other thing I think that would be important is Australia has offered the white farmers in South Africa a fast-track visa to allow them to emigrate on humanitarian grounds.
Uh-huh.
I think a similar humanitarian visa pathway, asylum or refugee status, should be available to Indians facing ethnic cleansing or genocide in South Africa.
Correct, because that's what happened in Uganda. They had to get out very quickly, and they ended up going to England because a lot of them were British citizens.
Yeah, they had British passports. Do South Africans have British passports as well?
No, we only have South African passports. We don't even have Indian passports. You know, we're technically so many generations.
Yeah, of course.
It's always very difficult to leave the country that you were born and grew up in and built a whole, you know, generations of heritage.
Yeah.
But if that's what it boils down to, then that's what might end up happening. We're talking to Praveena Singh Kao, who is, you know, talking about the situation in South Africa. If you want more details, please reach out to her, 713-302-2907. That's her cell number. And we have maybe about a minute, Praveena. Would you like to wrap it up?
Yes. Any help that people are willing to give or any options they think that, you know, would work would be great. And my vision for South Africa is the ultimate rainbow nation that Mandela envisioned. But short of that, then we do need to look at options where my people can come out and be safe.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen and that rainbow does go into effect. So we feel for your situation.
But you know what? If worse comes to worse, if the Indians do leave, then the South African economy is going to take a dive.
Yeah, so, certainly.
So that would be something else. That's what happened to Uganda.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, Praveena, thank you so much for joining us. We are going to be going to a commercial break shortly, and then we'll be back with our next guest. Praveena, thank you very much once again.
Appreciate your time.
Oh, no, we appreciate your calling in to educate us.
Yes.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. So we'll be back after these messages.
Indo-American News Radio.
India News.
US News.
World News.
Movie Reviews.
And Local Community Roundup.
Every Saturday.
4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Jawahar.
I'm Sanchali.
And I'm Prabhon.
Indo-American News Radio.
One thing everyone wants is to own their own home. Prosperity Bank wants to see you in your home, even if you think you could never afford it. How? With their HOP mortgage. 100% financing up to a $250,000 loan amount. Refinancing is allowed. Bankers who work with you. 1-844-U-HOP. That's 1-844-Y-O-U-H-O-P-P. Prosperity Bank.
NMLS 466414. Loan subject to eligibility restrictions and credit requirements. Offered in designated Texas markets. 100% financing based on lesser of purchase price or appraised value. Subject to change. Equal housing lender.
If there is anything better than buying your own home, then it's buying it at ease. At Loan Factory, get your rate with just a few clicks. And what if I tell you that you can buy your home without any income or employment checks? We provide loans for non-US citizens.
Get the most competitive rates. You want your home? Loan Factory will help you get it. LoanFactory.com, 832-990-9999.
Desi Brothers Farmers Market Weekend Sale. Cabbage and yellow onions, 39 cents. Doodhi, 69 cents. Spinach, 79 cents each. Maggi Rich Tomato Ketchup, $2.99. Taj Mahal Tea, $3.99. And much more. Also enjoy freshly made Indian snacks and food items at Bipple's Kitchen inside Desi Brothers. Vegetable curries, $3.99. Paneer curries, $4.99. Also enjoy thali with two curries, rice, three chapatis and a sweet for $5.99. Offer valid through Sunday, July 25th.
Desi Brothers Farmers Market, Highway 6 and Austin Parkway, 281-417-3374.
अरे घूमेंगे फिरेंगे नाचेंगे गाएंगे ऐश करेंगे और क्या
और ग्रोसरी शॉपिंग करेंगे
अरे नहीं एक चीज ढूंढने के लिए 10 आइल घूमो और जो चीज चाहिए वो तो मिलती ही नहीं है
इस बार ऐसा बिल्कुल नहीं होगा क्योंकि हम देसी ब्रदर्स जा रहे हैं इतना बड़ा सिलेक्शन लेकिन सारी चीजें आसानी से मिल जाती हैं मैं फ्रेश वेजिटेबल्स ले लूंगी और आप विपुल्स किचन से खाना ले लेना
देसी ब्रदर्स हाईवे 6 एट ऑस्टिन पार्कवे 281-417-3374 लेट्स गो देसी
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
Good to have you back. Our next guest is Raj Salhotra. Raj is a native Houstonian. He attended Rice University and graduated in 2013 with majors in economics and policy studies. And after Rice, he joined Teach for America and was placed at the Yes Prep Academy Southwest, where he taught pre-calculus and AP statistics. And after Yes Prep, he attended Harvard Law School, where he focused on researching public policy issues. And then he came back to Houston and ran for city council. Unfortunately, he was not able to win. But since then, he's been involved in different types of educational efforts. So Raj, welcome to Indo-American News Radio. And tell us a little more about yourself.
Right. Raj?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start by one question, Raj. How come you took my name? With an S.
You know, I think our last name may have been Malhotra some generations ago, but there was a spelling mistake.
That's what we figured.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Because, you know, we know that Shah Rukh Khan, he is Raj Malhotra in every movie that we know, right?
That's right.
So anyway, no, all fun aside, good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Jay. Appreciate it.
Tell us about Momentum Education. What is it?
Absolutely. So Momentum Education, we started in January 2020, and it's an educational nonprofit focused on helping students get to and through high school and then get into post-secondary education. Now, that could be college, it could be community college, it could be vocational career training programs, and then help them graduate from there and get a job. And so we offer things like mentoring, helping students with college applications, resumes. We offer scholarships and really try to hold the hand of the student every step of the way to ensure that the underprivileged students, those who are first generation to college, parents didn't go to college, and are lower income, have the opportunities to succeed, JS.
Wow. So how do you get the funding for this?
So, you know, we have a couple different funding sources, Jay. So one is individual contributors, so individual philanthropy. The second is, you know, the schools actually pay us a fee based on the students we work with. Third is, you know, corporations and grants. And then finally, we have some in-kind contributions of where people donate pay or their services.
You kind of faded out on the last bit there, Raj.
Say that again?
You faded out at the last point.
Yeah, if you can get closer to your phone, that might help.
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. What was the last point?
The last one was the in-kind contributions, where people donate their time, their, you know, the office space, things of that nature.
I see. And you said the schools pay you a fee. How does that work?
So we sign agreements with high schools and school districts, and based on the number of students on the campus and the services that those schools want, we kind of negotiate a price with them, which they can pay through, for example, the Title I funding they get from the federal government. Those funds can be used for college and career services, including Momentum Education, for example.
I see. And how many schools do you have relationships with so far?
So we have about 6 high schools and 4 school districts. And so really, if we add up, you know, all the school districts that we're part of, for example, Houston Independent School District, HISD, has about 30 high schools right there, right? Mm-hmm. KIPP has another 5 high schools. So in total, we're probably at over 50 high schools.
Uh-huh.
Through our partnerships, both with some individual schools and then some school districts in the greater Houston area.
Uh-huh. So, well, that keeps you fairly busy. Now, your offices, where are they?
Well, so we've taken, Jay, an interesting model because, you know, anytime you have a educational program, what we've learned, Jay, is it's so important to have that relationship with the principals and the teachers and the students.
Right.
And so although we do have an office sort of on I-10 and Barker Cypress area, I actually spend much more of my time in the high schools themselves.
Oh, I see.
Getting to know the principals and the teachers. Obviously, that was very hard this past school year due to COVID. But now that schools have reopened, both in the summer and for sure for the school year, we'll be actually officing out of our different high school partners every day. So we'll be moving around to make sure we're building those relationships with different schools and different principals.
When you say we, how many people are we talking about? It's you and a staff of how much?
Yeah, great question. So this year, which was really our first school year, you know, August 2020 to, you know, May 2021, it was myself full-time, and we had about 20 part-time college students who are interning with us.
Uh-huh, I see. Okay.
Next school year, so the one starting next month in August, we actually hired a second full-time person,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll have about 40 college interns.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Raj, what do you recommend a student who might be a junior in high school do to prepare himself to join a top-tier school, and how does Momentum Education can help him?
Yeah, for sure. So great question. You know, I think there's sort of, I always start with the academic piece. So that has to be there.
Uh-huh.
So what we mean by that is you got to do as well as you can in your classes. Momentum Education does offer virtual tutoring from college students. Secondly, the student has to do well on the SAT or ACT, whichever exam they choose to take. So Khan Academy has some great resources for those. Then the student has to develop a well-rounded background. And so what I mean by that is participating in not 25 different activities. No, pick a few activities and go very much in depth on those. So perhaps they're involved in their temple or Young Hindus of Greater Houston, where I'm involved. or perhaps they're involved in a sports sport, or perhaps a musical instrument, or perhaps a debate. But find one or two things where they can really jump in, you know, in depth. And then I think the last thing is try to get that mentor who is in college, who has gone through the process, who can kind of coach you. And so that's where Momentum comes in, is we provide those mentors because, you know, your teachers can tell you things, your parents might be able to tell you things, but ultimately hearing it from someone who's just a few years older than you, who just went through it, that can be invaluable.
So those that's helpful. Where the college interns come in that you have.
That's exactly right, Jay. So we hire the interns, and they get a caseload, 10 to 15 high school students who they work with twice a month, meeting with them, talking to them, guiding them, so that they are ready to make sure everything, you know, is done so that the student has a great opportunity to get in to college or community college, whatever they like to go to, and importantly, has the financial scholarships to afford it.
So, Raja, these are probably the strategies that helped you get into Harvard, right?
You know, that's right. I mean, I went to Harvard for law school, so, you know, you think back to starting when I went got into Rice, it was this exact stuff. And really the same for law school, too. I mean, it was, again, the grades in college. It was, again, the LSAT, which was a standardized test. It was, again, having, one or two activities that I was very involved in. But really the biggest thing was the mentors, is having those people who could guide me and help me through it. And that's really what, at the core, we're trying to do with Momentum, is make sure that everybody has that person to help them in the process.
Oh, okay.
Particularly those students whose parents may not have gone to college. So they may not be able to coach them.
Right.
So we need to be here to provide those supports and those resources.
Oh.
Say is, it is absolutely the case that universities have two kinds of admissions. So some universities, it's a pure numerical piece of the puzzle. What I mean by that is, for example, UT Austin, if you're in the top 7% of your graduating class, you will get in automatically.
Uh-huh.
So there, we have just numerical-based admissions. There are other schools that have, we call it holistic admissions, where they review the whole application.
Uh-huh.
And certainly in that process, you know, South Asians might be compared with other South Asians. And so what I always emphasize to people is don't worry about, you know, the factors you cannot control. Focus on making a strong application and focus on, again, finding one or two things that you're going to get passionate about. I think what sometimes happens with our South Asian community is parents, students, community members want to do 25 things. They want to do piano. They want to do tennis. They want to do debate. They want to do temple. They want to do this, that. And it's just a lot. And so I would say, like, it's much better to do one or two things and excel at them as opposed to try to do 10 things and really not reach the top in any of them, if that makes sense.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What about this, Raj? You went to law school at Harvard. You had an offer from Baker Botts. You turned that down to run for city council, and now you're still not doing lawyering. You are doing educationing. Now, what gives? What did you suddenly had an epiphany and decide to change your focus?
You know, I think for me, I've always believed that I've been really lucky in my life. You know, my parents came here from India, like so many others. They achieved the American dream, worked really hard, and I was lucky enough to grow up through that environment, having sort of been the product of that American dream, so to speak. And so I think we have an obligation, those of us who have sort of had these opportunities, to give back and to serve. And so when I sort of finished law school and tried to identify how can I be of service, how can I help the community, it became clear to me that public service, whether elected office or now, you know, running an educational nonprofit, was really the way. Because I just fundamentally believe that there's so many students who work as hard as I did, whose parents are as aspirationally minded as my parents are, who have the same goals for themselves as I did, but just don't have the opportunities. And so if Momentum can provide those opportunities, we can have stories like, just to give you an example, we have a student who started at Houston Community College. transferred to Texas A&M and is now working at McKinsey, the consulting company.
Right. Wow.
And his family has broken the cycle of poverty. And we played a small part in that student's journey. But what I know is that student, barring something crazy, he's out of poverty.
Well,
and we can do that student by student, Jay.
Yeah. I was just getting at the fact that you took a very hard turn to come from Harvard Law School and to get into this, which is a social entrepreneurial type of setup. And, you know, although you have to be applauded for doing that, it's just, it is a very different path that you chose later on.
Yeah, I think in some ways, yes. I think in the other sense, law school is ultimately, yes, you learn how to practice law, but you also learn a framework for attacking challenges, the framework of trying to see everything from both sides, trying to really focus on being detail-oriented, trying to focus on preparing in advance for a situation or a problem, and ultimately really just being a problem solver. That's the legal training, and that is really my job today. So we have students who will tell us, hey, I'm about to get evicted from my house, and so we have to problem solve to help them stay in their home. Or we have a student who will tell us, hey, I want to apply to graduate school, but I can't afford to prepare with the GRE tutoring. Can you help me? So we have to problem solve to try to solve that. So ultimately, I'm problem solving, which is all a lawyer does.
Yeah.
I don't focus on, you know, the contract dispute between A and B. I focus on how do I make sure that every student gets the opportunities they deserve.
Yeah, and you were also the president of the Young Hindus of Greater Houston, right?
Absolutely, Jay.
Yes, and so that was for you are or you were?
I still am. You know, and Jay, if I have a minute, I'd love to just discuss that group briefly.
Please do.
Yeah. So Young Hindus of Greater Houston, you know, that started out of the main Hindus of Greater Houston. The idea was how do we bring young people into the fold and connect them who may have gone to different temples growing up, but there's no kind of unifying group. And so we started a couple of years ago, obviously with COVID, we sort of had to pause all the activities, but essentially the goal is kind of once a month, get together with folks between the ages of let's call it 18 to 40 with social, community, religious, cultural type activities with the idea of just bringing people together who ordinarily might not get together, but who have so much in common culturally from their background and so on. And so I'm excited about, you know, the prospect for this year now that things are opening up and for us to, you know, get back and start meeting as a group.
Yeah, I see. Well, that's really, really laudable, and we wish you the very best.
Yeah, and give us your phone number and website so people can contact you.
For sure. So my phone number is 713-320-0303. So 713-320-0303. And our website is www.momentumedu, like EDU for education, so momentumedu.org. So momentumedu.org.
Wonderful. And Raj, a final question. You know, at what stage should a student be interested in working with you? Should it be when he's a junior, or even earlier is better?
No.
You've only got 40 seconds, please.
You got to start in ninth grade, Jay.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Earlier the better.
Yeah. Earlier the better, ninth grade.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Raj, and good luck.
And everyone, you've been listening to Raj Salhotra, who's the founder of Momentum Education. He can be reached at 713-320-0303. And he also talked about the Young Hindus of Greater Houston, for which he's the president. So if you have people, young children or not such young children, but young minds that might benefit from it, please do reach out to them. Raj, thank you once again.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, and good luck.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Bye-bye. Folks, we'll be back after these commercial messages, so don't go away. This is Indo-American News Radio.
Indo-American News Radio.
India News.
US News.
World News.
Movie Reviews.
And Local Community Roundup.
Every Saturday.
4 to 6 p.m.
On Masala 98.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Jawahar.
I'm Sanchali.
And I'm Prabhon.
Indo-American News Radio.
You're protective of your money. And why wouldn't you be? You work hard, you stick to a budget, you save. So you deserve a company that has your budget in mind. At Discount Power, we care for our customers by offering affordable electricity to fit your lifestyle. Just because it's an essential doesn't mean it needs to be expensive. That means more money to do more of the things you want. Discount Power. Why pay more for electricity? Visit DiscountPowerTX.com and sign up now. PUCT number 10177.
ये तो सात रंग के सपने में खो गई है। अरे सर्किट, ये सपनों में नहीं, ये सात विशाला में खो गई है। अरे भाई, ये विशाला में खो जाएगी तो कितना शॉपिंग करेगी? अरे तू पहले विशाला का भाव देख, जितना खरीदेगी उतना बचाएगी।
विशाला ग्रोसर्स, 7 लोकेशंस, 1 क्लोज टू यू, vishalagrocerytx.com।
Masala Radio 98.7 FM, 24/7 Masala. We reach 250,000 people in the greater Houston area. We are proud to promote the best businesses in our community. To promote your brand or business on Masala Radio, call Rinku 281-277-6874 or email rinku at masalaradio.com.
हीरा खुद अपनी जगमगाहट से बेखबर है, एक सच्चा जोरी ही जानता है क्यों ये हीरा मामूली पत्थरों से बढ़कर है।
महाराजा ज्वेलर्स carefully selects the best diamonds to elevate your beauty.
सच्चे प्यार का सच्चा तोहफा, महाराजा ज्वेलर्स, 5821 Hillcroft.
Bringing diamonds to life.
The only South Asian news radio in Texas.
Indo-American News Radio.
Every Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m.
on Masala 98.7 FM.
Our studio number, 281-277-6874.
The oil prices are now at 72 per barrel. And Schlumberger produced, I think, revenues or profits of $250 million in the last quarter.
Really?
So things are looking up, and I think people are hiring. And the old, oil and gas business is not extinct at all. It's will be thriving pretty soon.
Yeah, that's the way it looks like. And we will certainly experience a lot of growth here in the Houston market at that time. Although they've lost so many people.
Yeah, that's true. It'll
be hard to replace all these people.
Yeah, and what will happen is, I think, just new people will have to come, new graduates and so forth.
Right. Yeah. Folks, this is Indo-American News Radio. We've enjoyed being with you this afternoon. And we
had quite a few interesting guests. We had the estate lawyer, Heidi
Weilberg.
Yes. And then we had Raj Salhotra talking about
and Praveena Singh Kaur.
Yeah, and about the riots that are taking place in South Africa,
which we were not even aware of.
Right, exactly. So a lot of things to think about, I think.
Right.
I think it's the guests we have on our show really makes you think.
And hopefully when people who are listening to us, they also think, and they think, well, we need to support this program. So they come up and they say, here you are. Here's $1,000. Run that program.
Yes, why not?
Yeah. And next week, by the way, we are going to have a real treat for you guys. Once again, if you remember some time ago, we had Dan Mayor talk about a chapter from his book, Global Nomad.
Right. And last time he was here, he had promised to talk about Lucknow.
Yeah. And he has put together something for next week.
Oh, okay.
So don't forget to tune in, and you can learn all about Lucknow in the magnificent way that only Dan Mayor can write. And we will have him here
next Saturday.
Next Saturday, which is the 31st.
Yeah.
The last day of the month.
And one thing worth mentioning is India Culture Center's celebration of the 75th Indian Independence Day.
Yes.
And it will take place on August 15th.
Just so happens to be the same date.
Yes. And it's at Stafford Center on Cash Road. And the theme this year is wedding. So ICC says, dress accordingly and represent your parts of India. And the events will have a patriotic program and wedding rituals and celebrations of East, West, North, and South regions of India and much more.
Wow, nice. Well, folks, don't forget to tune in once again. This is Jawahar with Indo-American News Radio.
And this is Pramod, and you can call us at the newspaper at 713-789-6397. And our studio number is 281-277-6874.
And don't forget, you can also listen to us on a podcast on Monday. So on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Breaker, and a few Pocket Podcasts. So a few more. And we've had 2 years of podcasts available for you to listen to. And if you caught anything that you fancy and you need some more details, just plug in and go there.
Yeah, wonderful. And the Music Masala app is there. And the show is broadcast and you can catch it anywhere in Houston.
With the Masala Radio app. Okay, folks, this is Jawahar and we will see you next week.
Yes, and be safe and enjoy the weekend.
All right, bye now.
Masala Radio. You're listening to Masala Radio 107.